Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. As manufacturers and warehouse operators face rising energy costs and growing pressure to reduce their environmental impact, sustainability is a growing strategic advantage. From collecting data to partner visibility and researching new technologies, supply chain leaders are beginning to guide the next generation of smart facilities toward a greener transformation. Joining us today are Kai Beckhaus, CEO of Magnifier Safety, Yana Petrikova, Associate Director at Guidehouse, and Mackenzie Palladino, Senior Consultant at Guidehouse. We're going to discuss how supply chains can minimize their carbon footprint and reduce energy costs by leveraging automation in conjunction with sustainability efforts. Mackenzie, Yana, I'd like to start with you two. Can you break down where supply chains should start when they're evaluating their sustainability plan? My guess is it's going to be emissions related.
Emissions occur in three major categories. So we've got upstream emissions, downstream emissions, and then emissions that occur right at the reporting company. So all of your scope three emissions are indirect emissions that occur within an organization's value chain. And so what we mean by that is that these emissions are coming from not the activities that are directly happening. So think about like electricity and natural gas, that all goes into your scope one and two, whereas your scope three emissions are more of the consequences of the actions of your business. So it's like all purchased goods and services and things like that go into your scope three. And so these emissions are like the supply side activities and your upstream and then downstream activities are the demand side. So where the supply and demand comes in is where your scope three is. Whereas your scope one and two is really just keeping your buildings running and your fleet as well.
For those who are wondering, upstream emissions are indirect greenhouse gas emissions related to the goods and services that are acquired by a company or organization. And downstream emissions are indirect greenhouse gas emissions that are related to the goods and services that a company or organization sells. While they both belong in Scope 3, Scopes 1 and 2 are different. Scope 1 emissions come from sources that an organization owns or controls, like burning fossil fuels. And Scope 2 emissions derive from the consumption of purchased electricity, steam, heat, or cooling.
It is crucial for companies to focus on these emissions and calculate them because you cannot reuse what you don't measure. Generally, scope 3 emissions are the biggest source of emissions, so they can be up to 80 to 90% of the total company's emissions. And that's, of course, why it is very important to focus on those. And it can help organizations also to prioritize where abatement efforts are necessary when they understand these emissions and the individual categories' impact within the scope 3.
Interesting insights. So calculating your emission output is a crucial step. Mackenzie, what are the common challenges in collecting emissions data?
I mean, collecting the information just to get to that accounting can be really difficult because a lot of these emissions are out of the direct control of an organization. So for example, getting specific primary data for all products purchased each year requires reaching out to quite a few different departments, maybe internally, but you might also have to work with some external stakeholders as well. And sort of wrangling all of that information can be really difficult at times, just with so many different moving parts and all these different things like that. So I think that one of the most common challenges is getting that data. And then reducing the scope three emissions can also come back to the gathering of the data as well, because as you gather more data or as you're able to get access to that data, then reducing the emissions can be a little bit more difficult, right? So for these emissions that are completely out of your control, it's going to take a lot of legwork and a lot of effort in order to reduce them. And it's going to take a lot of cross collaboration and working with external stakeholders as well.
Yana, how should supply chain leaders approach data collaboration down the chain?
Engaging with suppliers really helps companies to collect more accurate data, and it allows for easier data collection. Some suppliers have, for example, supplier-specific emission factors that can be collected. But really engaging with suppliers also allows for more focused collaboration on Scope 3 emissions. A lot of times it is very hard to reduce Scope 3 emissions if the suppliers don't reduce their own emissions. So collaboration in this area is very essential. So I think it's very important to start the direct communication with the suppliers. And I think the best way to engage them is to meet with them, if possible, even in person, if not in person, then at least on a call, and really discuss what are the company's needs and the company's sustainability ambitions. What does the company want to achieve? And try to approach it from a very positive angle. So not really force these ambitions on the suppliers, but try to find some kind of common ground and try to communicate how any positive outcomes can benefit both parties, so both company and their suppliers. And also, companies should be very open to understanding their suppliers' perspectives, concerns, and needs as well, because it is a very overwhelming area to think about. So again, like, how can they find a way to collaborate together, find that common business case?
Kai, with suppliers and leaders collaborating to push sustainability efforts, what sustainability solutions are you seeing in action today?
Yeah. The automation sector and making things more efficient and using robotics is really good for ESG perspectives as well, because we use less resources. So any automation company that helps the world to preserve energy, utilize the environment like a warehouse the most efficient way we can, is good as well. To me personally, ESG is a topic where you really need to look into different levels and what is behind it. Is it really using green energy? For example, the solution that Wagner Fire Safety is doing, the low oxygen environment, OxyReduct, if operated with green energy, it helps reduce, it prevents fires and helps reduce the footprint. Fires really emit a lot of different gases and damage. So that is a good sustainable solution and would be considered under ESG criteria a good thing to do.
So a company's ESG criteria can be fulfilled by making a capital investment in automation. But it seems that you have to understand the upstream and downstream effects of that investment to really know if it's sustainable. So how can these investments further enhance sustainability?
Digital technologies help us be more efficient, especially when you plan. And the automation really helps us to be efficient, so to not waste any energy, any electricity. The automation can calculate the best path to go, the best route to go for an AGV or AMR, for example, or a robot arm, and thus have less resources, be quicker on the time, and also operates 24/7 so that all of the environment is utilized best. And that is at the end good for the sustainability again, because the footprint is reduced.
What key elements are necessary to transition warehouses into smart, sustainable operations that utilize robotics and automation technologies?
If the processes and how things are done in a warehouse are not efficient, it's not advisable to automate that and add more on it. So first of all, some housekeeping rules and process cleanup would need to be done, and then automation can help on optimizing that, and it needs to be integrated from the IT side with an existing IT system like an ERP system or WMS warehouse management system, so that everything goes hand in hand. The real world processes with the automation match the digital world and the data management that is on the back end.
While we're on the topic of technology, considering the importance of sustainability and efficiency in supply chains, how should companies approach selecting AI tools that align with their goals?
AI tools are a big topic nowadays, and what I see in the industry is that it is the buzzword nowadays, and so I would really advise companies to look into that marketing language as well. A lot of that, what is called AI now, might have been just called an algorithm many years back, or smart functionality a few years back, and so on. So to really make sure what to get out of that technology and how much AI is needed. There is a big boost in generative AI over the last couple of years here and smart algorithms, but it would not necessarily have to be the most modern things, can already help a lot. But if you then add machine learning and AI, that's to squeeze out the last percent. But going from no software solution to traditional, what has been around for a couple of decades, IT solutions, will give the major leap already. And then AI is really the little icing on the cake on top of that to get the maximum state-of-the-art outcome that today's technology has to offer.
What role do digital solutions, particularly in automation or AI, play in achieving net zero emissions for supply chains?
Well, a lot of things come together when it comes to zero emissions to look at what resources go in. So it's a kind of easy thing to say the energy, the electricity that the solutions nowadays use. So even in the forklift, very old school, a lot of trend is from natural gas or propane to electric vehicles. So if those are powered with renewable energies, electricity from renewable energies, that's a first major step. But then it's also the material that go in. And I know there's a lot of studies on all of the renewable energies, how much resources do they take to really create that? So that is something that even in a material handling industry, you would look at to see the steel, for example, how is that produced? And there's a lot of different factors coming together to really make sure a solution is carbon neutral there in full effect. And that is something where the industry will evolve. There's more and more companies that have the targets, and it's not done by just installing solar panels on a warehouse, let's say. That's nice to have for ESG and sustainability perspective, but there is more to it to make sure the equipment that goes in, the life cycle of the equipment really is compensating for the resources that it took to create that. And then once it's done, is there recycling? Is there a second life option as well to extend the use and reduce the footprint of the original manufacturing processes and resources that went into that?
In the category of sustainable solutions, are there any other major trends in the industry?
Trends in sustainability are definitely a shift into electric vehicles. That's the biggest trends worldwide. Europe is a little ahead of that from us here in North America, but you can see a lot of those initiatives, even all of the big American car manufacturers go into EV, and Tesla has set the pace there and was definitely the leader in that area. And it really has different other effects as well. So with that, a lot of industries change because an electric vehicle requires less components, and there is going to be room for many years for both of these technologies, because a shift from the system, from the grid, and from all of the manufacturing can't happen in a year, 5, or even a decade. There will be a longer demand for both technologies living side by side. But with more and more batteries, there's new challenges, and lithium-ion batteries is a fire risk, and that is where solution like MagnaFire Safety is. What MagnaFire Safety is offering, our oxy-redux system with a low oxygen environment, we prevent fires for a lot of hazardous materials, and a lithium-ion battery that once it's burning, producing its own oxygen, we would slow that process down significantly so that not one cell igniting would catch and ignite a fire and ignite a lot of other cells, but to have a controlled environment. And that helps on the sustainability process really there to make sure that with a trend of more and more electrification of vehicles, of machines, of material handling equipment, it is important to look at this one example of fire prevention, but also others of grid stability. What if everyone wants to charge their car at the same time? There's more smart grid, more decentralized grids, a lot of different effects coming as a ripple effect of that trend where solutions are being designed. There's a lot of smart concepts out there, but it just takes time for everyone to really see that and experience that. Early adopters, we're far beyond the early adopter phase there now, but it is going to be more good solutions. And
Jana, Mackenzie, do you have any last comments for supply chain leaders that are looking to start their sustainability journey now?
I would recommend that companies start calculating their Scope 3 emissions as soon as possible so they can learn about the gaps that they have in their data availability and data quality as well. And they create a roadmap for data improvement over time. We really see this as a data journey. It's going to be a process that will have to improve over time because no company has perfect data today. When companies become subject to mandatory reporting, they will have good systems and good controls in place for the quality data collection.
So I think the first step is just educating on what greenhouse gas emissions are, because a lot of times suppliers don't have a dedicated sustainability office or people whose job it is to look at energy efficiency or things like that. So a lot of times starting at the very bottom of just saying, hey, we're working on our greenhouse gas emissions. This is what this means for you. This is how you impact our emissions. Let's work together to figure out what your emissions are. And then let's think about what levers there are and what possibility there is in order to reduce your emissions and then reduce the organization's emissions as well.
And Kai, before we conclude this discussion, where do you see technologies heading over the next 5 to 10 years that could help tackle Scope 3 and beyond?
A lot of the innovation that you really see is a combination of different things. And I believe with the AI and generative AI that we have talked about being fairly new in the longer scope, it's going to be a combination of that along with other technologies in the sustainability. So how about a machine learning AI solution that optimizes the grid? A lot of startups are working to combine involvement in one area of the technology sector onto different applications in other areas where there is development. So I think that a lot of the new innovations really would come from that, to take a new thing. And they say more than every decade or so, a really big new thing is coming up. And maybe we have just hit that with the generative AI now. So now it's time to really apply that and advance that along and apply it on other technologic advancements and make new solutions out of that combination of different things in a new way, so that we see increased trend in the crystal ball for electric vehicles, for initiatives. And a lot of the big companies really have set themselves for a carbon neutral year. Some airlines even have addressed that to have a completely carbon neutral fleet in a few decades. So that's good, and that will be continuing, and we will see involvement in that sector.
A huge thank you to Mackenzie, Yana, and Kai for joining us on this episode of the MHI Cast and for sharing their insights on the future of sustainability in supply chains. They have given us a lot to think about moving forward. And thank you to you, our audience, for tuning in to today's discussion. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey.